89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode. It's actually been 3 weeks since we last sat in this studio and did an episode, isn't it? And the reason is because, we like to stay a few weeks ahead of ourselves. We record usually 3 or 4 weeks ahead. But this time, you went on your honeymoon.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I did.
So, did you have a good honeymoon?
It was bloody terrible. No, no, it was lovely, mate. It was great. 10 days in St. Lucia.
Caribbean.
Caribbean, yeah. Blue seas, white sands. And, yeah, it was really, really good. All-inclusive. Can't complain.
Much better than your mini moon in Brighton, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was. Although, Brighton was good, but the beaches in the Caribbean are just slightly better.
So, that's fair enough.
But, no, it was really good. Can't complain, mate.
Good, good. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, what happened to you? Well, second day into my honeymoon.
Two days into your honeymoon at work, on the farm where we work, I had a little accident and someone lowered a hydraulic trailer onto my foot, breaking two bones in my foot. So I have spent the last 2 weeks sat at home in my conservatory on a sofa completing Netflix.
Yeah.
And spending a lot of time watching drivel on YouTube. And that has been my life until you showed up today.
The little ray of hope in 2 weeks.
Although, the one thing that I have done is I got you a little honeymoon present.
Oh.
Because you were so taken with our last episode, that being the Pastafarian episode.
Yes.
You really loved the concept of it.
I did.
So yeah. I went ahead and bought the Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti
what?
Monster for you. Happy honeymoon.
Cheers, mate. What, that is fantastic.
I have read it.
He's actually got meatballs for eyes.
Yeah.
No, they're eyes.
Anyway. He's got meatballs and eyes. Yeah. But
wow.
Anyway, let's not get into that because we've already done that episode. So you take that home and read it. And this time next week, you will be a converted Pastafarian, I'm sure. Jeez, much man. Like I pretty much am. And just to clarify, this really just consolidated everything that I kind of said in that episode anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't get too much wrong. It's all in there, so enjoy. And you at home, if you want to also purchase this book, I got it on Amazon for £9. Quite cheap for a hardback.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead and enjoy that yourself as well.
I look forward to reading it.
So leading on from that, what is this week's episode, Josh?
Well, while I was on my honeymoon, I had a little bit of inspiration because there was a lot of stuff about ancient civilizations and Atlantis and all stuff. And I just got thinking. I was actually thinking that before I came back, I was like, oh, I actually can't wait to do a podcast. And I was like, oh, I suppose it's my turn. What should I do it about? And it was fresh on my brain. So I thought, why not do lost cities?
Yeah, why not?
And all kinds of lost cities. So not just ones that have submerged in the water, but ones that just got completely abandoned, earthquakes, Mother Nature, all kinds of different things.
Bradford.
Yeah. So I thought, why not? We'll just have a discussion about it and
yeah, let's go
talk
for
about
it.
Some interesting stuff. So I'm guessing the best thing to do is to start off with Atlantis.
It is the main one, isn't it? When you think of lost cities, the lost city of Atlantis is the main one, isn't it? No one really knows for sure if it was a real city or not. Was it? I can't remember which. I'm sure it was a Greek guy that first mentioned
about Plato.
Plato, that was him, yeah. Well, I'll let you go into it, mate.
You are right, though. There's no actual evidence that Atlantis is real or ever existed. There's no definitive proof.
No, but it being Greek, like a Greek myth and legend, I kind of see where it's come from because, we often talk about Noah. Well, not often, but we've brought up Noah a couple of times. Well, there was a time when the Mediterranean Sea wasn't even a sea.
Yeah.
And that is theoretically the flood that happened in biblical times, which did bury some villages and cities around sort of Crete and around the Greek coastline, which might have been what Plato was referring to.
Mm-hmm. Funny you mention that, because when I went off on my rant last time about if you believe in Noah's Ark and stuff, when I researched this and that came up, I'm not saying that the floods and stuff didn't exist. That part of
that historical fact. It wasn't a global event, but definitely in the Middle East, the cradle of humanity, that definitely did have a flood. Yeah.
So if you believe in that, that's not the bit I'm talking about. I'm saying if you believe a man got two of every animal on one boat, that's the bit I'm like, no, I can't.
It's not even that. I'm going to correct you. He got seven of every clean animal and two of every dirty animal.
On a
boat. That's even more. On a boat, yeah.
Or an ark, yeah.
An ark, yeah.
Well, it didn't happen. So anyway, Atlantis, Plato, in 360 BC, he mentioned the island in order to illustrate a point about the dangers of aggressive imperialism.
Fair enough.
To me, that sentence makes no sense, but it's
I don't see how flooding a city can be due to aggressive imperialism.
I don't know either. It's just, when I was doing the research, there were some certain points and stuff, and I was like, that sounds fancy, I'll write that down.
Unless he meant aggressive imperialism, as in building your cities too quickly in the wrong place, not researching where's the best place to build one. Because if you build a city on a floodplain and then it floods, you've only got yourself to blame, haven't you?
Yeah,
maybe that's what he means by that, aggressive imperialism. I don't know.
I always wondered how they built Venice, because it's just covered in water, isn't it, all the time? Like how they actually managed to make structures and things.
Yeah, I think it was Venice built on sort of marshy land, wasn't it? And they just kind of extended it onto sort of false land. So the actual buildings and stuff, they actually piled up the concrete so that it's a stable structure. That sort of roads are rivers, yeah.
Yeah, interesting city. I'd like to go one day.
Yeah.
But this is another
sentence. Apparently it smells.
I have heard that, to be fair. But this is another sentence that doesn't make sense to me, but you might know what it kind of means. So Plato said Atlantis was no utopia, rather a foil for an idealized version of Athens from long before Plato's time.
Okay, so what he's... utopia is a word to describe sort of paradise, idyllic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's saying Atlantis wasn't your ideal city, it wasn't paradise, and he's comparing it to Athens, which is obviously an overpopulated city.
Oh, and I bet Athens back in the day was a banging city to be in.
It was a mega metropolis, yeah. Back in its time, yeah, when they first built it. There was not really a lot else on the planet like it, was there?
Yeah, and I always picture old... like Greek mythology and stuff, is everyone just wearing togas with like wreaths on their heads? But isn't that Rome?
Like when Bill and Ted turn up and take Socrates.
I just can't distinguish between like Romans and old Greek mythology and stuff. They all just have togas and wreaths and red sashes.
Well, they didn't have sewing machines back then, so it had to be very simple clothing, I guess.
Yeah. I've got another interesting fact after the podcast that mentioned about Greece, because it has nothing to do with lost cities.
Okay.
But it's about dinosaurs.
Right, okay.
And the reason he says that Atlantis started to have its downfall was not just Mother Nature and the elements. He said it all started because of the citizens, their unjust lust for possessions and power.
Okay.
So that's what he, in his opinion, started the downfall of Atlantis.
So really, this is kind of like a Greek philosopher's idea of the flood and Noah's Ark and that? Because the stories are similar, aren't they? Mankind was horrible, debauchery, you know, not living its best life. So God decided to sink it or flood the land. And the same with this Greek philosophy thing is, you know... yeah, civilization was turning sour, and it probably wasn't a bad thing that it sank beneath the waves.
Yeah. And he also describes Atlantis as, well, he calls it the three-ring city. So it was two rings of water, one ring of land, with a kind of like a canal or a river that leads to the ocean.
Right.
You can Google it and have a look. It's actually really interesting. It looks pretty cool. So it's... like, but basically, like moats and things.
This is just how he describes it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, have we ever found any evidence of a submerged city that anywhere near reminiscent of this same design?
Well, yes. So, there. Well, should I come back to it? Because it was like. It was the.
If I'm messing with the order of what you want to say things in, then just ignore that and carry on if you like.
Well. Yeah, all right, so we'll get to that bit. So basically he said that Atlantis was larger than Libya and Asia combined, right?
What?
Which in Plato's time would have referred to modern-day northern Africa and half of Turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on there.
Libya and Asia.
Yeah.
Like Asia, that's massive. That's...
it's huge. So I'm guessing the continents and stuff were in different positions in those days?
Well, no, not in the last only few thousand years. I mean, it took millions of years for continental drift to happen.
Oh, you're talking rubbish then?
Well, yeah.
I have no idea. so it's, well, situated
unless a guy from Greece, if he's only travelled to... maybe, you know, just a little bit further east and thinks that India is, you know, or a small portion of India is the expanse of Asia that he's talking about. But I just don't get that. Libya and Asia all in one go. No.
Yeah, so this is the thing with Atlantis, like with Plato, because I have to kind of reference Plato because he's the guy that, I wouldn't say made it up or anything, even though there's no evidence.
He documented it.
He documented it. So I'm just kind of going through facts and statements that he's said that, I'm not going to lie, half of them, it doesn't make sense to me. Well, I don't understand.
A lot of it would have been in ancient Greek anyway, so some of it might have got lost in translation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because ancient Greek isn't going to be the same as modern Greek. I mean, there are going to be people that can sort of translate it, but I mean, there's surely going to be mistakes in that kind of work, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%. And there's mixed opinions on where Atlantis actually is. So
yeah, very so, much so.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure Plato said it's situated in the Atlantic Ocean, somewhere outward of Gibraltar.
Right.
So yeah. But then there's also reports of it being in the south of Spain. I don't.
Gibraltar is south of Spain, but outwards of Gibraltar would put it outside of that monumental flooding that happened those, you know, 6,000 years ago or whenever it was.
Yeah.
That potentially is the cause of Atlantis sinking anyway. To put it on the other side of Gibraltar, on the outside of Africa and Spain, mm-hmm. it would already be sunk.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know?
So I'm going to step away from Plato because he's doing my head in, mate. So
his philosophies just don't make sense, do they?
Yeah. So in 1882, this guy's name is so strange. I've never heard it before. Ignatius Donnelly.
Ignatius Donnelly, oh. Yeah.
Ignatius Donnelly, a former US congressman, published a book called Atlantis. And if you'd do me the favour of just reading the title of his book, because I can't read that word.
Antediluvian World.
Yeah, it's about Atlantis.
Yeah, it's the Antediluvian World.
So he has a book, and it has 13 hypotheses on Atlantis truly existing.
Okay.
So he fully believes it, and I've not read the book. I couldn't find much online about it without having to pay.
And he came up with 13 points.
He's got 13 strong points.
Unlucky.
So if anyone So if anyone's read that book, then, you know, they probably believe in it as well. But Donnelly was also inspired by an amateur archaeologist who discovered the legendary city of Troy in 1870.
Oh, okay.
And I have forgotten his name. I should have written it down. But he was an amateur archaeologist, and he's not around anymore.
Well,
so
it doesn't matter. But that inspired this Donnelly guy.
Yeah, because his attitude was if Troy was real and it was discovered.
And this amateur dude discovered it, why the hell can't I find Atlantis?
Exactly. Yeah. So that was his thing about Atlantis, basically. He was convinced that it was real. So essentially, Atlantis. I need to find my notes. Like I said, it's in a little bit out of order, but I'll just try and go from memory because I can't find it. So the most recent evidence with Atlantis, and then I'll close on Atlantis.
Oh, is this going back to that?
The circle thing. They actually found structures. The eye of something in the Sahara Desert.
The Eye of Horus.
The Eye of Horus.
Right.
They think that that's probably the closest evidence that they could find.
Oh, the
find.
Eye of the Sahara.
Yeah. No, yeah, it is. Yeah, the Eye of Sahara
with
the rings.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's how Atlantis would have looked.
Right.
That kind of similar shape. And scientists and people are now starting to think that if Atlantis was real and ever existed, that is probably where it actually was in the Sahara. Because I didn't know this. Did you know the Sahara Desert and parts of Africa, you know how it's all like dusty and there's nothing?
Oh, it's just sand these days.
Did you know every 20,000 years?
Yeah.
Every 20,000 years it turns green. And like it thrives and there's like a whole ecosystem of like all these plants and everything like that. So they're saying that Atlantis would have been a thriving city with hundreds, thousands, millions of people, like this utopia. And that could have been one of the reasons why it sunk or Mother Nature attacked it. It was because it was going through that transition of going from this lovely green place to just dirt, rubble, nothing was growing, there was no water or anything.
Yeah.
Deserted. So that's the closest they now think that Atlantis could be if it is real.
That's fair enough. I thought the Eye of Sahara was just down to normal sort of ecological weather effects and stuff like that. Because you can only see the Eye of Sahara from the air, from an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
On the ground, you wouldn't even know that you're in it if you walked into it.
So that's pretty much Atlantis, mate.
But, I mean, that is, well, yeah, I guess in conclusion, there's no proof that it ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no proof that it ever actually sank beneath the sea, but that is the story. But that being the story, no one's ever found any evidence of a city that actually accurately describes the city of Atlantis that Plato described originally.
Very true, yeah.
So he could realistically have been talking about something that's not below sea level that has just got lost in some other way.
Yeah. I mean, rising sea levels and things as well.
Yeah.
All sorts. But, you know, I'm happy with that. That's Atlantis. There's not much else to go into.
That's fair enough.
Because there is no evidence or anything. It's just kind of a real old myth and
things like that.
So just some honourable mentions of some lost cities. Now, I wasn't going to write it all out because it would have taken me ages. So I've just done the classic Josh style, and I've just got some screenshots of some little tidbits of information of some interesting lost cities. Out.
Fair enough. Yeah, you're better off doing it screenshots than looking at the website live like I did that time.
You would have heard this one, Babylon.
Babylon, yeah, the city of Babylon. Well, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, I suppose.
Yeah, the capital of Babylonia, the ancient empire of Mesopotamia. I'm not going to go through all that because there's so many fancy words. But that was 604 to 562 BC and is credited for building the legendary Hanging Gardens. All that remains of the famed city today is a mound of broken mud brick buildings and debris in the fertile Mesopotamian plain. And that's pretty much it, in the rivers of Iraq. So that's the Babylon. Give that a little shout out.
Yeah.
This one, please read that, because I'm not good with words.
Which word are we looking at here?
The very first one, beginning with V.
Oh, my good grief. Vachai Nagar?
Vinegar, if you want.
Vachainagar. That's about the best I can.
Yeah. See, that's a strange one. But this was Vijayanagar was once one of the largest cities in the world with 500,000 inhabitants. The Indian city flourished between the 14th century and the 16th century during the height of the power of the Vijayanagar Empire. So, yeah, there's another one. Just interesting places, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I went for them, because we can't pronounce them.
No, that probably was a small oversight, but never mind.
But this one was lost, this lost city. That was the point I was trying to make, is different ways that cities have been lost.
Okay, yeah.
This one was lost due to a war, a battle of Muslim kingdoms in 1565. So that's why that's not a city anymore, and it's been lost over time. So shout out to that one. Next one. Mesa Verde. This was in the 12th century, building houses, and they were all kind of like under caves and built into mountains.
Oh, right,
ranges, kind of like a hidden kind of lost city along the bottoms of these mountains and plains and things and canyon walls. And some of these houses would have 150 rooms. In one building.
Grief.
And
which country is this in? Mesa Verde?
Southwestern Colorado.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, yeah, and by 1300, the tribe of people are called the Ansazi.
Right, yeah.
And by 1300, all of the Ansazi had left the Mesa Verde area and the ruins due to the plains and droughts and land issues.
Right, yeah,
And, yeah, it was a terrible place. So, again, it's kind of Mother Nature, but it was specifically droughts and not being able to grow anything, no agriculture and land issues. So shout out to them. And this one you would have heard of, Pompeii.
Yes, we all know Pompeii.
I don't really need to go into Pompeii, but a huge volcano covered the whole place in ash. And the pictures to me look really eerie.
Yeah, not only Pompeii, though. I think it was the next city over as well was also wiped out. Herculaneum?
Yes.
Yeah?
I believe so. It covered... Oh, yeah, yeah. It covered several nearby towns as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so, pyroclastic flow would have just ignited people. There was reports of one of the people that was actually in that eruption all those years ago, because of pyroclastic flow, which is like really, really hot gas, coming down the side of the volcano at like 300 miles an hour. You're not going to outrun it.
No way.
And it's like 1,000 degrees centigrade. And it literally hits you and just fries you like that instantly.
That is and nuts.
One corpse that they found had actually had his brains vitrified into glass inside his skull. And that would have happened instantly.
That is terrifying and cool at the same time.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
But, I mean, the whole story of Pompeii, I mean, most people will know Pompeii.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm not going to go into it. It happened in 79 AD on my wife's birthday, August 24th. And, yeah, volcano erupted, like you said, just vaporized people. And also there's people that are just frozen doing weird things. Like you said, they didn't have time to do anything, did
no,
they?
No, not at all.
And, yeah, check out the pictures or don't. It's terrifying. So I've just got a quick couple more. Petra.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of Petra.
I've heard of it, yeah.
In southern Jordan.
Yep.
And that was a lost city due to several earthquakes that kept happening. Uh-huh. So after a while, they were like, I think we should probably move because we keep getting our buildings torn down due to several earthquakes in short periods of time. So they left. So again, Mother Nature. And if you haven't noticed by now, the theme of all lost cities seem to be Mother Nature.
Like, well, yeah, pretty much. Like Chichen Itza in Mexico. I don't know if you were going to bring that one up, but that was an Aztec city, wasn't it? And that just literally just got engulfed by the rainforest and just lost for hundreds of years until explorers found it.
I'll tell you what, though. The Amazon does come up in my later notes, and that is very interesting. So I'll go just quickly the last two. So Angkor is the vast temple in Cambodia.
Angkor.
Angkor?
Yeah, Angkor.
From the 9th to the 15th century AD. And I mean, it was a weird place. Let me just get my notes in order here. They had several religious monuments, temples, mm-hmm. massive stone faces during its long history. Angkor went through many changes in religion, converting between Hinduism to Buddhism several times. Mm-hmm. The end of the period is generally set as 1431. And the year Angkor was sacked and looted by invaders, though the civilization had already been in decline, nearly all of Angkor was abandoned except for the Buddhist shrine. So that's the only thing.
Okay, yeah.
And I wish people could. I wish I had a picture to show people, but we can find one.
Yeah,
the temple.
I can.
You can definitely. Find one. The temple is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
And yeah,
it's still there.
Yeah, I think it's the only bit that's left now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so cool looking. So check that one out. And then the last one. This blew my mind. I mentioned it to you before we started. I had no idea Machu Picchu was only rediscovered in 1911.
Neither did I, to be honest.
That is
but
nuts.
It doesn't surprise me because, I mean, it's so high up in the Andes, isn't it, mm-hmm. on the top of a mountain. And how the hell they built the place is beyond knowing. The stones that are stacked, I mean, there's no mortar in between them.
Mm-hmm.
And the stones are stacked in such a way, or they've been cut into shape so that they tessellate together. You couldn't even fit a human hair in between the stones.
Oh, is it a bit like the pyramids?
Yeah, it's kind of
built to perfection.
Yeah, absolute perfection. No one knows how it was done.
Aliens.
How it was put that high up.
Yeah. But Machu Picchu was rediscovered by Hiram Bingham. So shout out to him.
Yeah.
But no, I just found that absolutely incredible that 1911 isn't that long ago. I always just assumed Machu Picchu was a place and everyone knew about it and it was always there.
And another one I would want to point out is around near Asia, Japan, and that. Do you know if there's sunken structures there as well? I think they're actually currently bringing sculptures and statues up out of the ocean to study them, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And there's that plateau with all the right angle. It looks like there's steps on it and all that stuff under the sea that divers go down. They're not sure whether it's a man-made structure or not. But I just thought that one might be worth mentioning as well.
Yeah. There's quite just a few in Asia.
Yeah, off the coast of Japan.
I said to you, man, the weirdest thing about doing my research is, I said to you already, I felt like after doing Lost Cities, I thought you'd get Atlantis, you'd get a couple of others.
Yeah.
That's about it. There's hundreds of them over time.
Lots, yeah.
And it was, I can't fit it all into one episode. There's so many. So there's so many in Asia, South America, there's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the name of it now, but there's another one in where, again, the stones look like they've been laser cut into giant letter H, capital H's. And they just sort of tessellate together and whatnot. And I can't remember the name of the place now. It's got a strange name. But that, again, I think it's something like 10,000 years old. And how they actually created that city in the first place is beyond beyond me.
I'll have to check that out. Find some information on that.
Yeah.
So you can find many examples of lost cities
on
a website called toropia.com. I just took a selection.
Is that where you booked your honeymoon?
No, definitely not. But there were so many examples, man. It was the first hit on Google, and it was the top 35 lost cities. And I was like, wow, I didn't know there was this many.
The top 35, that just says there's a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. So there's a couple of cool little stories, and then I'm going to get to the main finishing thing that is fascinating. So there's a couple of cool little cities. The lost city of the monkey god in Honduras.
Honduras,
yeah. Right. It was found with LIDAR in the last 2-3 years.
Okay.
And it was said to be a full city, not a town or a village, a full city.
Full of monkeys.
Hundreds, thousands of people. And I'm guessing monkeys as well.
Must
called
be.
Monkey god. And the other one was the legend of El Dorado.
Oh, yeah,
this
is
like a gold city or plated with gold.
Yeah, the city of gold, yeah.
And many explorers died trying to find the lost city, and it's located in the Mato Grosso region of Brazil, and the city was later dubbed Z, or Z, by Percy Fawcett.
Okay.
And Percy Fawcett is an interesting guy because he kind of becomes obsessed. I'm guessing he's an explorer, but he kind of becomes obsessed with the Amazon and rainforests and stuff and lost civilizations and things. And that leads me to the finale of the ancient civilizations of the Amazon jungle.
Here we go.
So scientists have just discovered a massive 2,000-year-old Mayan site hidden underneath a Guatemalan rainforest.
Okay.
And that's a little side note to the big one of, along with that settlement in Guatemala, is they use LIDAR, which it's like a plane that kind of maps out and sees underneath and what used to be. And I don't know how it works. I'm not a LIDAR expert. I don't know if you've got knowledge on it.
I think it's a ground penetration radar, isn't it, attached to a plane?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like a geo study, isn't it? I don't know what depth it can go down to.
All I know is planes have this clever technology to basically map out and show you what used to be there.
Yeah.
And they are finding hundreds of these abandoned like civilizations and cities and stuff,
right,
and
okay.
the structures and things underneath and what they would have been and the examples that they're finding is mind-blowing. So in Bolivia, they discovered ruins of vast ancient civilizations with millions of people. Settlements, some of them were 80 square miles.
Yeah.
A city was 80 square miles.
Good grief.
And it sounds a lot, but the next fact will...
Well, it does sound a lot, because like, that must be nearly the size of London.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, in these LIDAR examples, it included pyramids, canals, elevated forest islands, and various buildings. And they all flourished from 500 to 1400 AD. And some of... I said about 80 square miles.
Yeah.
They reckon the collection of these cities, if you will, the biggest one was 1,700 square miles total. So like a collection of, a bit like on the farm, we've got units covering an area.
Yeah.
It's like these cities covering square miles kind of all made like one huge utopia, if you will.
Yeah.
And it was 1,700 square miles.
That is like, that is massive.
Now, this is going to blow your mind because this blew my mind. With explorers and science and the Amazon and how big the Amazon is, I didn't realize how big the Amazon actually is.
Yeah, it's the biggest river in the world, mate. Yeah.
So we've only discovered and explored 1% of the Amazon and the rainforest and stuff, which blew my mind. And with LIDAR, they've actually only now just getting out of the 1% of what they've discovered and what they've built. So all the information that we have now about the civilization, it's 1% of what they've discovered as well.
This is why the nuts. Colombians are so good at hiding in the trees and making meth labs, mate.
Well, you say that. Get off my head, pirate.
Oh, no.
So
every time.
It has been proven that with this LIDAR technology, some of the structures and the evidence that they found, the modern medicine, agriculture, architecture, astronomy, they all surpass European knowledge. And so the civilizations in the Amazon were far superior and had all this knowledge of all this stuff before the Europeans that lived at the same time. So all of this stuff got absolutely destroyed and non-existent, basically.
Oh, definitely, like this lost city. Ancient cultures seem to have so much more knowledge about the stars and the night sky and the way that astronomy worked compared to almost what we know today.
Yeah, and it's crazy how we don't have this evidence there to work out, like, how did they know that? How did they know this? And it's frustrating that only 1% of that has been discovered, and there's basically a whole treasure trove of information in the Amazon and the rainforest that we can't access just yet, and we don't know. And the other thing is, when a quick little story, I will mention, this has been mentioned before on other podcasts and things, and I can't think of the guy's name, but when he was talking about the similar subject of lost cities and the Amazon things, one of the lost ancient civilizations that was supposed to be like a utopia that was just full of people, full of technology and all this crazy stuff, an explorer came across this civilization, went back to Europe, told them about it, and they said, he's making it up. He's got to be. There's no way they've got this and they've got that. Like, he's got to be, you know, lying. So they went back, not the same person, but they sent someone back 100 years later, and it was completely submerged by the rainforest.
It's gone.
Absolutely gone. And they reckoned that it was to do with some sort of disease that back in those days they just didn't have anything to
defend. It was probably the first guy going there that took the disease there in the first place.
Have some smallpox.
Yeah, 100 years later, we're dead.
Yeah, but just in 100 years, it had gone from this thriving civilization to completely lost city. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
gone.
Definitely.
And that is all I've got on lost cities. I mean, there is more, but that's the most interesting stuff I could find with little facts.
That's fair enough. I mean, like you say, it's surprising how quickly cities can get lost. I mean, there's that There's an island, again, just off Japan, there's an island that you're not allowed to visit these days, but I think it turned into like a very prominent mining city,
mm-hmm.
just on this small island, barely a mile across. They constructed these massive apartment buildings. It was a very self-contained city, all shops, you know, all that infrastructure that was on there. And then when the mining ran out, everybody just left.
Yeah.
And, like, the buildings, the apartment blocks and all that sort of stuff, still there,
mm-hmm.
but very quickly getting it just covered by nature. The trees are growing up, the buildings are falling down, you know, all that sort of thing. And it is, it's alarming how quick that can happen.
Yeah.
An abandoned place, isn't it, really? So when you think to try and find lost cities that are thousands of years old, it's going to be a hell of a job doing it, isn't it?
Yeah. It was like your girlfriend told me about one that was lost on the coast of the UK.
Oh, Dunwich.
Yeah, well, didn't even know about that.
Dunwich isn't so much a lost city. It's more the land erosion. The sea is reclaiming it, you know, and it's on top of quite a high cliff. It used to be a big, big market town, but now there's only just a few houses left.
Oh,
and
wow.
They will soon be in the sea as well.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, Dunwich. It was once a very prominent port, I believe.
Oh.
For shipping industries, but now, yeah, nothing left of it.
Fair play.
It's all gone into the English Channel.
Reclaimed. Can I ask you one last question before we go?
Go for it.
So, do you remember earlier I said about the Greek and things not making sense, and I mentioned dinosaurs? So I saw this clip where, I don't know if the guy's talking nonsense, maybe you can enlighten me on, because I don't understand it. He was saying that the word dinosaur comes from Greek, like, language.
For terrible lizard.
Yeah. So, you already know, terrible lizard.
Yeah.
So he was saying it doesn't make sense because the Greeks weren't around when dinosaurs were.
No.
And dinosaurs weren't around when the Greeks were.
Nope.
So why are they called dinosaurs?
Like, I don't
know. Why did the Greeks get to claim the name dinosaur? Like, where does it...
Basically, everything gets categorized in either Greek or Latin, doesn't it? If you discover an animal, nowadays it's given a Latin name.
Right, okay.
But over 100 years ago, when they just first discovered dinosaur bones, maybe they didn't... Well, I don't know if dinosaurs get Latin names as well. I mean, we call a T-Rex a Tyrannosaurus Rex, don't we? I don't know if that's Greek or Latin, but the actual word dinosaur itself is the collective, isn't it? There's a whole bunch of everything from a stegosaur to a tyrannosaur to a brontosaur to a brachiosaur to an archaeopteryx. They're all dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of an archaeopteryx?
No. I stopped. To be honest, I stopped at stegosaurus. That was always my favourite. I also heard a rumour that, this isn't a dinosaur podcast, but I heard a rumour, myth, years ago that the Triceratops never actually existed. It was a man-made kind of dinosaur.
I don't know about that, but yeah, there was a myth that somebody put the bones together the wrong way.
Yeah, like they didn't have horns.
Yeah, it's the same with the one with the iguanodon.
Yes, I know that one. That's the cool dinosaur.
Yeah, it's got but they originally put it standing on two legs upright with its two thumb bones.
Yeah.
They actually had to break vertebrae in the spine to get it to do that. And then years later, they realised that it should have been walking on all fours.
Oh.
It wasn't a two-legged dinosaur after all.
Fair play. We're still learning to this day.
We are, But dinosaurs are not what this podcast is about. It's about lost cities. And we've got to put it to the paranormality scale.
Yep.
I'm not entirely sure how that's going to work.
I think as this podcast goes on, we seem to work out... The paranormality scale is different for different subjects, isn't it? So I always just go with nowadays, how much I like it or believe it.
Yeah, okay. So well, let's take the big one. Let's take Atlantis.
Because
obviously there are lost cities out there. We've seen them, Chichen Itza, Machu Picchu, Babylon and that. Like, you know, there are some remains that we can study and, like I say, bring them up off the ocean floor or whatever, bring back things to study so that we can actually learn more about these things. But Atlantis itself, no one's ever found it. Plenty of people have looked for it. there's plenty of stories written about it. Like you say, Plato was the first one to bring it about, bring it up in his writings. Is it believable?
I know. I like the theory of Atlantis, but just liking the word Atlantis and liking the story of it isn't enough for me to give it a high score. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not...
And yeah, I know what you mean.
We've always had that rule of, like, a five is kind of, you know...
It's tilting between believable and non-believable. Yeah. Or paranormal and non-believable, yeah.
But I hate to say it, I don't think Atlantis existed. Just for me personally.
I think if you want to look at finding Atlantis, you've got to get rid of everything that Plato actually said, describing it. Because, let's face it, it's already under the sea. He didn't actually see it.
Yeah.
So him describing it is just the same as me describing a rock on Mars. I've never been there. Never actually seen it.
Yeah.
But I could tell you there's rocks on Mars. You know? So Atlantis, I think, because there are other cities or villages or towns or whatever that did sink beneath the waves around Greece, around the Mediterranean, because of that great deluge, flood. I'm going to give it a six.
Six? All right, that's fair. I was going to give it a 4.5.
I'm going to give it a six because, yes, there's nothing to say that any one of these places is Atlantis. But it does at least give it some basis for how the myth started.
Some credence to it.
You know? So I'm going to go with six.
All right, I'm going to stick to 4.5.
To 4.5.
Yeah, I want to believe in Atlantis and, you know, I want to find the evidence. Not me personally, I want to find the evidence, but, you know, if stuff came out about it.
That would put our average at 5.25.
Yeah.
You happy with that?
Yeah.
Just slightly above that tilting edge.
Yeah, but actual lost cities are a thing and they do exist.
Oh, they are, yeah.
But it's like you said, it's not paranormal or anything.
Oh, it's not
so
paranormal.
So it's like, but they do exist.
But I'm just looking at the believability factor of it.
Of Atlantis, yeah.
Potentially it's believable. It's just no one's ever found one that matches the description of Plato. So.
But if we're talking about the Amazon stuff, I'm giving that like an 8.
Let's not overcomplicate this.
Yeah, all right. Well, Lost Cities as a whole, I mean, I'll just go down the middle and give it a 5 altogether. Like, if we're talking
about... okay. So that would give us an average of 5.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, some of it's believable, some of it's not. They've got evidence for some, evidence for not Atlantis. So, you know, yeah, I'll just go in the middle. Not really giving it a score at all.
Fair enough. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Well, I mean, it was your episode as well.
Anyway, interesting.
If you at home can think of lost cities that are more interesting than this that we haven't mentioned, please do write in to paranormality.uk@gmail.com. You can always like and subscribe and comment on YouTube. Also, give us a rating for the audio download podcast. If you're a fan of that, a lot of people like the audio only. They don't go for the YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
That's our bread and butter. Audio people, we get three times as many downloads as we get views on YouTube. So, you know, that's our sort of main aim audience. Yeah. But there's all these ways to contact us if you want to contact us. Share your stories and your ideas, or just say hello. And until you do, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Hey, marketers. Your marketing plan deserves more than just reach. It needs real connection, Podcast advertising with Acast puts your brand in the ears of your perfect audience when they're paying most attention. And with more than 1 billion listens every quarter, we know your next customer is listening to Acast podcasts, no matter what app they're using. Target audiences like paid social with cinema-like attention. Whether it's by demographics, interests, or your own first-party data, connect with the right people with Acast. Visit go.acast.com/ads to get started today.
Percent of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
Big shout-out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.